One. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
It is Wednesday night, December 7th, almost 9:20 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for Under the Radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined over there by John Stalica. Down below from bracketeer.org, we got Rocco Miller. And across, we have a grayish, bluish shark thing.
An expert. An Under the Radar expert.
We got David Griggs. We've got a lot to get to tonight,
but
this is our Under the Radar show. Real quickly, Under the Radar, what that means is, if you haven't been here, which you should have been here before, is that you're not a member of one of the Power Five conferences. That's the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, or one of the other five conferences that we consider to be regular multi-bid leagues. That's the American, the Atlantic 10, although maybe not this year, Mountain West, the West Coast, and
Big East.
The Big East of the Big East, of course. The Big East, almost really a power conference of basketball.
It is, else, but NCAA legislation designation, they're not.
Okay.
They don't have the autonomy, but they are in basketball.
Everyone else is an under the radar team, unless you're in the top 25. None of these teams, as far as this cutting into this week, is in the top 25 in either poll. Some of them are in the top 25 in the net, but that doesn't count for
what
we're doing here. But we got a lot to get to. What we'd like to do here is go through conference by conference in alphabetical order, other than one league that's our feature league. And for reasons that are kind of more off, almost more, well, at least 50-50 off the court, also for reasons on the court, but for reasons off the court as well, this week's feature conference is going to be the WAC. And I think I'd like to start the show off with what's going on in New Mexico State here, because it is a... I mean, it's sad, and it's I don't even know how to describe it, Griggs. It's, you know, it's one of these.
Yeah.
Just, now a lot is still coming out, and we don't know a lot for certain yet. But
yeah,
really happened.
Well, again, like there was a player that was involved in a shooting. Some teammates were assisted.
Yeah, let me go over very briefly what we know is that Mike Peake, one of their players who was supposed to be a key contributor this year, actually. Apparently was lured while in New Mexico for their first of two, what was supposed to be two games of the season, was apparently around 3 a.m. lured by a underage female to what he thought was what I hear was allegedly going to be some type of sexual encounter. Instead, it ended up being some type of setup where the guys were going to be jumping him in retaliation for things that happened during a football game fight. Peak, though, brought a gun with him, which tells you that he was not exactly expecting, you know, what he says he was expecting. And a gunfight actually broke out, and the other guy, one of the guys that was attacking him, actually ended up dead, shot four times by Peak, from what I'm understanding. And then after all of that, the gun and Peak's tablet that he had with him at the time went missing for almost half a day, ended up in a hotel room of one of the assistant coaches. Apparently several of the other teammates were there at the scene and somehow got Peak back and got his gun into their trunk. I'm a little confused as how they got there quicker than the police did. So there's a lot coming out here, but Rocco, as of now, Peak is suspended indefinitely from the team, has the gunshot injury to his leg anyhow, but this is just a complete, honestly, a complete shit show what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy set of circumstances. As you said, the details are emerging. You know, we recorded our Over the Radar podcast on Monday night. And I think that from that night on, the last two nights, I've been seeing a lot of new updates the last 48 hours. You know, my understanding is that from that point forward, one of the kind of suspicious things that occurred was that the team bus left the next morning, I think around 10 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. And they had made it about 140 miles outside of Albuquerque on the way to Las Cruces in about 90 minutes. And so the bus was flying. And that's the part that I'm like, okay, everybody must have been communicating that they needed to get the hell out of there. And the cops finally caught them 140 miles away. And that was kind of suspicious. And then also just the fact that Coach Taylor, assistant Coach Taylor, who's the one that turned over the gun to police, stayed back at the Albuquerque hotel where he then was interviewed by police. And the videotapes of Coach Harar and Coach Taylor came out last night as well, so you can check those out. But I think all of this is coming to a head quickly. They're playing Santa Clara tonight in about 30 minutes, and they just passed down one game suspensions to each of the players involved with driving away with the gun in the car. So they're down about three or four scholarship players, if you count Peak, tonight. So yeah, there's all sorts of chaos. The Harar press conference Monday night, they played a non-D1 team. He couldn't comment on anything. It was very strange. They obviously know they should have probably stopped and cooperated with police, and that alone could cost them their jobs. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Something definitely very, very strange happened. For their sakes, I hope it was just, my hope is that it was some type of comedy of errors where one person thought somebody else was being contacted, somebody, and that may be the best case scenario. So we don't know if that may be truth or not, right. But so far right. It sounds, yeah. But there's a lot of things that are just very fishy about the series of events, and multiple people saying, well, I didn't have my cell phone on.
Right.
Why would coaching staff not have their cell phone on while on a road trip? It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Which is why the AD had to step in and make the comments. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit on the court, though. And Stalica, you know, we had the first net ratings come out this week. Sam Houston, the surprise team at number 7, they did lose their game to Oklahoma State last night. Still in the top 20, though. Still at number 18 after that loss.
You look at two of their losses, they're going to be at Nevada and at Oklahoma State. There's certainly no shame in that. They still have wins at Oklahoma and at Utah that are held buoying this net up into the top 20, which actually was number 7 when the initial list came out on Monday night.
I'm kind of glad Rocco is here. I know they lost. You look at the losses to Nevada and Oklahoma State. Both of those true road games, both of those teams playing really well at home. Both of those teams probably going to win upwards of 90% of their home games, although Oklahoma State maybe not quite as much playing in the Big 12. To me, this still looks like it's laying the groundwork for a resume that can get a team inside the bubble. The win at Utah is outstanding.
It is. And the win at Oklahoma has just aged very nicely with the Sooners winning their ESPN event, which is a big event. My concerns are just more holistically. The WAC's going to be a very competitive league. I think it's 13 teams of probably at least 8 or 9 strong teams. And even teams like Utah Tech and Tarleton have really stepped up.
Keep the profile up, Chad. I want to.
Yeah, I'll just go back and show this.
Yeah.
If
you look at Sam Houston's strengths, it's like all defensive. They can put you in. Give you a lot of headaches defensively. And the score against Oklahoma was 52-51, 65-55 in the Utah win, which has really put them on the map. But I don't think they're going to have enough consistent offense to go dominate the WAC. I think you have a lot of tough travel in this league as well. I don't think the champion of this league, whether it's them or Grand Canyon or whoever it is going to come out of here with less than 3 losses, probably 4. So I just don't think by the end of the year they're going to be able to sustain it, but it's a great story.
Right. There are all these tough road trips here too. One little advantage here, when you look at the schedule here for Sam Houston, two of their toughest teams are going to play Seattle and Grand Canyon, once only at home for both those teams. So they have a little bit of advantage in the schedule here too.
Okay. And this is one of the things that's jumping out. Their next D1 home game is January the 5th. They've got a 5-game road trip.
They do have 4 non-D1 games on the calendar.
That is a problem, but you don't like to see that. But this is, a team that can rack up. When you're playing that many games on the road, I think the committee is going to give you a break if you lose 3 or 4 of them.
Just to stand up for Jason Hooten, he called me, I can't even tell you how many times between June and the start of the season, looking for anybody to come play them from any D1 school, any level, and they could not get anybody to come out to their town of Huntsville, Texas. So it's a challenge that both them and Abilene Christian and Southern Utah all face. No, it's just very remote locations. Nobody in D1 wants to travel there. And luckily for him, he got this Oklahoma State game pretty late in the scheduling game. Even though they lost it, that's a great opportunity, and they got some money out of that.
Yeah, the other interesting team I put up there is Seattle, who's 6-1, 4-1 against D1 on the right there. One of the things is, they haven't really played anybody much. The win at Portland was pretty nice, but they got ahead. They got a game at Oregon State. I know it's Oregon State. And real interesting, they're on the powerful side of the diamond head with Utah State and possibly Iona there. So that could be, you know, this Seattle team could, if they get some of these wins here, have a decent resume heading into conference play as well.
Keep an eye out. Pretty exciting. I love this league this year. I love the makeup of it. Grand Canyon's got a big game tonight. We love the Lopes. Haven't even really talked about them, but
They won pretty easily at Wyoming. We know Wyoming's shorthanded, but they got Maldonado back for that game.
And
still got them by 8.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Grand Canyon games tonight. Who are they playing tonight, Greg?
Schedule and let's see. LMU. LMU with not exactly under the radar, but a big game for LMU.
Okay, that game is tipped already. I was looking for the upcoming schedule for the rest of the night, so that's why.
Yeah.
And then they've got North Texas in the Colangelo Classic in the Suns Arena on Saturday.
Oh, that's a big one, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Really good game.
In fact, here's the rest of that upcoming schedule. Actually, if I'd hit this button here, we would have seen they were playing LMU, but I wasn't that smart. But, we've also got tonight a little Beehive action here with Utah Valley and BYU going on. That game,
Revenge game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did play twice this year, don't they?
No, the Utah Valley.
Yeah, Utah Valley beat them a year ago.
Okay. Oh, that was last year. I'm sorry. That was last year.
Yeah. Okay. BYU revenge game.
Next Wednesday night, New Mexico State at St. Mary's. Well, we don't know what type of New Mexico State team is going to be there at St. Mary's. And,
correct.
So the Gales could have that one pretty easily. And that's going to be after they play at Duquesne on Sunday.
Yeah. They're going Bay Area tonight, out to Pittsburgh and back to the Bay Area. It was wild when they came out with that, and now it's even wilder with all this going on.
Let's go through the rest of the leagues here, and let me start with you with the American.
And Chad, if you give me 30 seconds, I know we normally have final thoughts. My opening thought when I was putting together my top 10 today, I don't know if you all had this experience. Every conference virtually has somebody that's like legit good in it. So when we get to the survival board, a lot of teams, at least one of them, are going to be staying in italics for a long time. Now let's get to who each of those teams in each league are.
Let's up it this way. We ended up with, I think, 19 different teams getting votes in this between the four of us, the top 10 list this week, which is a lot, especially this far in the season. We normally get that like week one or something. So,
right.
But starting off in the American East, though, Salika, how about this Lowell team continuing to pick up wins, picked up a road win the other night at Long Island, sitting here at 9-1.
Well, Long Island was one of the wins. They also got a win 2 days before that at Sacred Heart. That was one of our under the radar games of the day. And I think this is the first time I voted the River Hawks as one of my under the radar top 10 teams right here.
Yeah. I mean, I still, at the end of the day though, Rocco, look at that Vermont team. I think, you know, nice road win at Dartmouth, it being a road win, at least against a Northeast, you know, New England rival, and coming off the road win at Merrimack as well. I think that this Vermont team is maybe starting to hit their stride.
Ideally, I mean, Merrimack and Dartmouth are still 300-plus teams. But again, they did it on the road, and they did it dominant fashion, which is what we're used to seeing. Big one at Colgate on Saturday.
That one's big. Chad, pull up Lowell real quick.
But I think Vermont, with John Becker being – even if they're outclassed a little bit talent-wise by Bryant or Lowell, John Becker can make up that difference in the matter of 5 months. He's that great of a coach. So you certainly can't count him out. And Dylan Penn's a great player. We knew that from when he played at Bellarmine.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to make about Lowell is that I guess the win at Brown being the exception, just about everything that they have done has come outside the top 250 of the net. So is that record a little bit of a mirage? And is Vermont, who you also have up, you know, going to turn out to be the class of the league once we get started? But I still think Lowell's been a fun story.
Yeah, I mean, Lowell's won all their games by double digits, except for Sacred Heart was by 9, and that's when Lowell had a couple players out. And now Lowell's got UMass tomorrow, which is huge locally. I know that. And UMass just announced that Noah Fernandez is going to be out. So I would actually favor Lowell slightly in that game, even though they're on the road. We'll see how that goes. But really great interview today with Andy Katz and the Lowell head coach, Pat Duquette. Check that out. That was pretty revealing. He talked about how deep their roster is this year, how the transfers are fitting in. They've got some really athletic guys. And I'm with you guys. I think I'm a believer in this Riverhawks team.
Right. Well, I just want to give one quick shout out to New Hampshire. Road went at Boston College, but every American East team wins at BC.
Yes.
So let's keep going here, Griggs, over to the Ace Sun Conference, where, you know, I don't know that this is maybe not one conference where I'm not seeing anybody stick out yet because Liberty has not, you know, been quite what we thought they would be so far.
Liberty hasn't. I was big on Gulf Coast, but my God, they just got boat raced tonight over at FAU. We'll get to FAU here in a little bit, but not one of the conferences where you're looking at it and thinking, wow. I kind of a shout out to North Alabama. I don't think they're going to be front runners or maybe not even in the middle of the league, but 4-4, their first year off of transition, had a couple nice road wins this week, I think.
They won at Moorhead tonight. They beat Alabama State at home.
Yeah, so a couple of, I think, in both of those were road games, weren't they? Or were
Alabama
they?
State was a home game.
Oh, Alabama State was a home game. Okay. But I still think Liberty, once we get in the conference play, is going to be who runs away from this. But they haven't shown it yet. Gulf Coast has a little bit, albeit not tonight.
You're underselling the Moorhead game because North Alabama was down 18 in the second half in that game before they came back and ended up getting a 24-point swing at the end of the day.
Yeah, Moorhead just stopped scoring with about 10 minutes left of the game completely. And just I think they actually left the court and everything. But
maybe they thought the game was over.
Maybe they must have
thought it was one of their five non-D1 games.
Maybe, Rocco, the team we should be discussing, though, actually picked up a very nice win tonight, and that's the Dolphins going to VCU with the road win tonight.
Yeah, and I think people have slept on the Dolphins most of November because they only played a couple D1 games, and they played Duke, and there was another big one in there, but they lost them both pretty bad. And now tonight they go into VCU, win by double digits. They've got the best defense in the league. Mincy is a hot coach. Really good chance he gets picked off by a high major at the end of this year. So I look at Jacksonville and Liberty as the favorites going into the season. I don't think I've changed on that. Gulf Coast and Lipscomb have been nice surprises. Queens is an excellent surprise. And don't forget about Kennesaw State. They almost knocked off that same VCU team, but fell apart in the last minute.
Do you think VCU is not in this league?
Sleeka, you may want to circle Saturday's game here, Jacksonville at UNC Wilmington. That may be the radar game of the day.
Rocker,
I think you're going to be there, correct?
I also have to circle the Friday one before that.
Yeah, I would be there if I could. Absolutely. That's one of the games I just tweeted about that game, actually.
Okay. I mean, I'll get into it more in my final thought, but most days, Queens at High Point, you're talking about a two-loss team and a one-loss team in the Panthers. That should be the under-the-radar game of the day, but
I love that game.
Reasons I'll get into later, it will not be.
Okay. Well, Rocco, the Big Sky Conference, and this is definitely not a conference where we're looking at anybody having, you know, we've only got one team with a winning overall record in this league, and not even against D1.
Right. It's been a tough go in terms of records. A lot of these teams have had to go on the road, though. Montana finally got a good home game against South Dakota State and killed them. That was nice for the Grizz. Northern Colorado had a huge upset at Colorado State.
A big one. A
couple of good wins for the league in the recent week.
Yeah.
They've already clinched at least a tie with the Summit League, and their series still three games to go. So we've followed this series for about 4 weeks now, but I think the final games are coming up Saturday finally.
Yeah, but Northern Colorado, I mean, they were a team I think we all like coming into the year as perhaps a sleeper. And right now, if you ask me who I like the most, it's them. And you were at that game, weren't you, Rocco, that Northern Colorado-Colorado State game?
I wish. No, I wasn't.
Oh, really? I thought you had every game. Here's a bunch of games coming up on the schedule here. Rocco will be at all of these, I believe.
Rocco will be. Yeah.
But once you're on the front range, there's no going back. You got to keep going.
You see the Montana, North Dakota State, Omaha, Montana State, and I believe the Eastern Washington, South Dakota State game are the remaining Summit League Challenge games
Eastern's at Cal tonight, which is interesting. Are they going to be the first ones to lose to Cal, or will they keep the train going?
They got a much better, they got much better metrics across the board than Cal right now, so yeah, that makes them the favorite in my book.
Cal is so bad. Yeah,
Cal's got like four guys out too, according to Jeff Goodman. He just tweeted that a little bit ago.
Does it matter?
Wow. We'll ask you that. That's definitely Cal's best player. So
anyway. Stalika, let me go back to you here for the Big South Conference. We were talking a little high point a few minutes ago. There they
great
are.
Great high point. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to add a quick note in the chat here regarding Cal and Eastern Washington. But okay, yeah, getting all back the to the high, but getting back to the high point team that I had teased earlier, they're coming off of a couple wins against North Florida, but the big one was at Furman last night. So
yes, that was a Furman great game.
Being a favorite in the SoCon, those are going to be big points for high point right here.
Yeah, that was a big game. And like, yeah, pull up. Can we pull up High Point's profile here? Because, you know, 6-1 out to a start. I don't know if they have quite enough to make a run at the bubble. And I mean, no, short of winning out or no, so, but
they cannot make a run at the bubble short of being going undefeated all the way to the conference championship game and losing there. We'll put them on the bubble, Griggs. This schedule is atrocious. Come on.
Yeah, it is. But a nice road win at Furman. Rocco, I know you were there. What were your thoughts on that one?
I thought they shot the lights out.
They
shot like 78% in the first half. It was crazy. But High Point's an athletic team. I that was my first good look at them last night. I knew they played UNLV tough. They lost by 10, but that was actually close all the way through. And that impressed me. And I kind of liked their roster coming into the year. Good move by Tubby Smith to step aside for his son. Gigi Smith doing a much better job than his dad. This school, if you don't know anything about High Point, very well resourced, very expensive.
Oh yes,
it's a country club school. It's like a ticking time bomb for them to get dominant if they care about basketball.
Their budget is crazy. Yeah, they spend a lot on athletics, more than you would think.
And there's the upcoming schedule. Keith, obviously we mentioned that Queens High Point game already. At your High Point, I believe
they got that Wichita.
High Point's got Wilmington coming out, I believe, 2 weeks from now also. So they've got pretty interesting schedule ahead here.
The only problem is locally you're also fighting programs like Wake Forest and North Carolina just for attention in that media market.
Griggs, over in the Big West Conference, and it's the no matter how much we loved UC Irvine, Fresno State's not that bad of a team, and they had been shorthanded. They weren't in this game, Fresno, but Fresno went in there and took it to them on Saturday.
They did. Real disappointing from the Eaters, and disappointing in the sense that, like, I know how high their ceiling is. When UC Irvine's playing at their best, they're really good and they're capable of playing with and even beating top 25 teams when they're playing up to their ceiling. So when they don't and they lose a game like they did to Fresno, it's disappointing. Under the radar schools, we pull for them. We want to see them land inside the bubble. But I still think they have the highest ceiling out of this conference. Hawaii playing well. The Gauchos been a little bit Beach has been a little bit underwhelming.
Beach very disappointing. Especially the loss to Utah Valley this week. I mean, I get it was on the road, but I think you got to win that game.
Oh, you do. I mean, but I still like Irvine more than anyone else. At least I think they have the highest ceiling. But Gauchos and Hawaii also really good.
Well, we'll find out a lot about Hawaii tonight, Rocco. They're playing Vegas.
Game.
Not Thomas and Mack. It's at the one of the other buildings over there in Vegas.
Yeah, it's actually in Henderson. And that was negotiated because the Big West plays their conference tournament there. So it's an opportunity for Hawaii to play a game. UC Riverside actually played their MTE there as well that they won. So a couple Big West teams doing everything they can to get a game or two in that building to get the preview for March. But Hawaii, disappointing loss and a controversial finish against A&M Commerce. I'm not sure if that was in the last week or not, but they're a good solid team. We've seen that. Never played on the mainland. We will learn a lot about them. I still think Riverside's going to fight everybody tooth and nail. I think Long Beach has potential, as you guys said, but Irvine and Santa Barbara Should definitely be the class. And I want to give a shout out to Cal Poly, a deeper dark horse, but they beat a really good Cal Baptist team by 11. Caught a lot of people by surprise. And this Cal Poly team is much better and improved than they have been.
Yeah. And Rocco, we know you're heading to Vegas tonight for that Hawaii UNLV game. So,
We gotta keep moving.
Just a quick note here. Monday night, big game here. It's a rescheduled game. It was supposed to be at UC San Diego. There was an arena issue. Now got rescheduled to Monday night. UC San Diego is at San Diego. The winner, Stalica. I believe they get one of these, right?
Oh,
yep. Courtesy of the San Diego Zoo right there.
Yeah.
The giant elephant turd. Okay. Rocco, the Colonial Athletic Association, but for what was going on off the court in the WAC, this may have been our feature conference. I'm sure it's going to be very soon. Because I absolutely love what College of Charleston's doing. They're almost in the top 25. They're almost out of this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Charleston didn't play very well yesterday, but they were able to kind of weather the storm. I guess my only concern on Charleston is they've had all these big wins on their home court. I get that the tournament was about a 50-50 split on fans.
It was 50-50 is generous. It was pretty heavily Charleston.
I thought the Virginia Tech championship game at least was pretty split, but good for Pat Kelsey. He's doing a great job, posting these videos every morning. They have a game to get fans to come out. The city's rallying around them. It's a really exciting thing. So I definitely want it to carry all the way through the season. And then if you look at the rest of their non-conference, all they really have left is a road game at Coastal on the 19th. So they've got all the big tests mostly out of the way. Now the big challenge for them, for Towson, for UNCW, and I guess Hofstra is avoiding all these landmines. And the travel in this league is not easy. You know, with the expanded league, you might have to go all the way out to like a Stony Brook or Hofstra. You got to go down south to Charleston and everything in between.
Don't forget, no, Northeastern. You got to go further.
Yeah, and you'll have some weather. You'll probably have some weeks with some bad weather. And so, they're going to have to weather all those quote-unquote storms. But Charleston's a great story.
Yeah, they are. The one thing that gives me pause, Rocco, and it is the only thing, is the lack of true road games and how much they had to sweat against the Presby team that is atrocious.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm right there.
You know what? Let's see how they bounce back in the next few games here. And also, I pulled up Towson there on the right.
Good
team. As we record this, they're down a few points, closing in on halftime at Clemson. If they can find a way to win this game, they may be getting top 25 votes next week as well.
Yeah, and that's a resume building win. That win at UMass is really good, considering that it was a true road game, and I think the only one UMass has lost at home so far, maybe the only one they've lost this year, period.
Yeah, they dominated that game too.
They did. And this is a good Towson team. I honestly, like, I think I know that the slate of wins and winning the MTE, Charleston's spotlight is a little brighter. I actually like Towson more.
Yeah, and Towson's down two right now at halftime at Clemson in a Clemson team that's fully healthy. So this is a good showing so far for Towson again.
Yeah.
Even if they lose it, a close one, hey.
No problem.
Here's the upcoming schedule. Obviously, that game going on right now. Everything else coming up, including a little sort of Big Five action. It's the sixth member of the Big Five, Drexel at LaSalle on Saturday, Hofstra UMass on Sunday.
Don't forget the law firm of Johnson and Wales taking on Elon Musk on Sunday.
Okay.
Moving on.
It's like I was going to go to you for the next conference. I don't know if I should. I will anyhow. The Conference USA, where we've got quite a few very good teams at the top of this league as well.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic, this was today's under-the-radar game of the day, and it turned out to be pretty one-sided here with the Owls just doing things to Florida Gulf Coast. I think they probably just scored another three right there. So,
you pull them up, Jed. Like, these are some impressive metrics, and they look good on the court. They certainly did tonight. Rocco was on location. Like, he was at that game tonight. Down in Miami.
I'm gonna get a place down in Boca. Yeah,
it's
in
yeah.
Boca. But it seems like a good place to post up for the rest of the season. This team's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And we are going to also UAB on the right there. Hasn't had, it did beat Georgia, but you know, it's kind of Georgia beat South Florida, but big tests upcoming. You see the next two games at West Virginia, the game against South Carolina as well. So
that's another South Carolina is now like a must win with how bad they're playing. Yeah. But
is there enough? I mean, again, short of, is there enough there? Like the Toledo loss was kind of disappointing. They were ahead for a lot of that game too.
Yeah, I think within the Conference USA, if it can kind of hold on for another 3 weeks till conference play starts, you're going to have some Q1, Q2 opportunities within the league. January 5th, just a quick preview, Florida Atlantic actually hosts UAB.
Oh, that's a great
I will actually be there.
I'll tell you what, Rocco, the problem that they may run into here, they got three non-conference games. Yes, I mean, West Virginia is a very good strength of schedule win. The other two are bad with South Carolina and Southern. They're sitting at a 354 non-conference strength of schedule right now. Terrible. That number is not going to get much better, even with the West Virginia game, because of those other two. But this might be one of those teams that you come down to looking at the intent to schedule, because it's a bad strength of schedule with South Carolina, Georgia, South Florida on it. So,
yeah, and I personally wouldn't give them a pass because I was very frustrated with them. I know this is going to be posted, but I don't mind saying that publicly. I thought they should have gotten at least one, maybe two, perhaps even three more big games.
Houston was available.
Yes. I mean, especially like being out here in the WCC, you see all the teams that St. Mary's scheduled, all the teams in the kind of the UAB range of candidates. I thought worked really hard, and I thought UAB kind of took easy street. But again, in Conference USA, they might get more opportunities. I think the conference right now is about to jump, if they didn't jump already tonight, the Atlantic 10 in KenPom. So this is a great league.
Oh man, it's ranked down by the Atlantic 10.
You got a very good Western Kentucky team. You got a Charlotte team that really does have one of these this season.
Yeah. And La Tech's not bad. I mean, they're competitive.
And next year, that's going to be a big matchup in the American between Florida Atlantic and UAB.
Right.
And North Texas. Yeah. Here's an upcoming schedule here. We've got the UAB West Virginia game, obviously the big one there. I see the rest of the games coming up as well. Western Kentucky at Louisville next Wednesday night.
That's talking about hurting your strength of schedule. UAB, a lot of eggs in that one basket with West Virginia, because as Rocco correctly alluded to, when you limit your chances, you basically put pressure on yourself with the few that you do have.
All right, Griggs, exactly. We got to move along. Over to the Horizon League, Griggs, where we've had conference play over the past week here. And how about those Milwaukee Panthers?
Yeah.
Out to the 2-0 start after how awful they've been in recent years.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to see them at the top of the league, albeit after just 1 week, but I like them. I thought Cleveland State looked good tonight. I'm a little more impressed with Cleveland State than
Cleveland State got blown out by St. Bonaventure tonight.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Like I said,
but you were impressed by that loss, weren't you?
I was impressed with St. Bonaventure tonight. We got to go edit that.
Rocco, could you save him on this league?
No, I am unsavable.
Well, I thought they had a good week, but I mean, Northern Kentucky pulled out, I think, two overtime wins last week. I think Youngstown's pretty good, so that's a good win for Northern Kentucky for league play. Robert Morris, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Robert Morris stunned Wright State in the opener. That was
Wright State then lost to Youngstown as well, both at home. I'm concerned.
Wright State got drunk with the puppet this weekend.
Yeah,
but Robert Morris took Northern Kentucky to OT in the second game. So I think, and then I think Robert Morris won again tonight against a non-conference game.
Central Michigan. Yeah,
yeah. So that's kind of an interesting story, and I'm a little like shocked on how non-competitive Oakland has been. They got completely blown out by Cleveland State. This is a team that we're used to being at the top of the league, and they're 2-9, 0-2 in the league. A lot for Greg Campy, who's been around forever, to figure out. So I'm sure they'll figure it out, but it's weird to see this.
Northern Kentucky at Washington State coming up tonight in a little while. It may be going on already for all I know. Yeah, they're down big. They're down big at halftime, actually. But
somebody hasn't been paying attention.
One bid league for sure.
Yeah.
I got a question for our under the radar panel. Does the third ranked team in the city of Louisville go to IUPUI and get the win on Monday?
Big game for Spalding. Big game for Spalding Monday night. let's have a Rocco over in the Ivy League. I mean, do you want to start with what Cornell and Miami did tonight?
Sure.
Scoring 3 million points in this game. Where did this come from?
That was a hell of an effort by Cornell.
It was the most entertaining game of the year. It was crazy. Go ahead.
It's pretty wild to see an Ivy League team to have a top 20 tempo. But that's where the Cornell Big Red is at right now. They play a really fun style. They shoot a very high percentage from two. Their only two losses are by 2 points to ACC teams, Boston College and Miami, albeit the Miami game was out of control, 107-105. But I think Cornell kind of got them to play the way they wanted to play. So I give credit to Brian Earle and that staff for almost getting them to bite and get the win. They'll get another crack at the big-time ACC next week when they play Syracuse as well. So I think, that definitely adds a different wrinkle to the whole league. Yale seems to be the most solid. I just think last night when they played, Butler? Yeah, they just – it was a matchup nightmare. They had nobody. Nobody on Yale is taller than 6'7", and Manny Bates just did whatever he wanted at 6'11". So I'm going to just throw that game away. I think Ivy League favorites has got to be Yale still.
Yeah, yep. Penn showed a lot of life against Villanova tonight. We're within about five or six most of that game too. So,
and Princeton, another team, once we get in the conference play, to keep an eye on. A crazy game. Like,
how about Yale and Kentucky on Saturday?
We're going to be throwing that one out too.
They better shoot 75% from three.
Yeah, here's a good one on Tuesday. This Princeton and Iona game.
Yeah, I definitely would circle that one. Salika, let me go back to you
will be there.
As we head over to, speaking of Iona, how about the Metro Atlantic, where Iona coming off of the win of the season for them last night, thoroughly destroying St. Louis.
I think this was the return of a home and home, where Iona went to St. Louis last year, couldn't quite pull off the win in SLU last year, but this year they repay the favor big time, and that was coming off of a pair of wins against the Buffalo teams in Niagara and Canisius to kick off conference play.
Yep, there they are, 2-0 in conference as well already. The other big note in this conference just came tonight, a buzzer-beating win in the Battle of Fairfield between Fairfield and Sacred Heart. Fairfield getting the huge last-second win there and taking home the trophy.
Yes, yeah.
Battle of Fairfield trophy.
Fairfield.
I think
Rocco was there to present it to Fairfield.
Lido Vecchio.
There's the upcoming game. Iona also has St. Bonaventure coming up on Sunday before the Princeton game on Tuesday. Where are they playing those? Is that down in Atlanta?
I think it's Barclays.
Barclays.
Yeah, okay. Quadruple header. Hofstra's there against UMass, and then there's some above the radar action in between.
Yeah, Quinnipiac 7-2 against D1. A little bit of a mirage there, do you think? Maybe a mirage.
I like the fact that Quinnipiac did it against good competition up in Canada. That they blasted Stephen F. Austin. They beat a really good Montana State team by 17 and lost by 2 to Hofstra. I thought that really.
The 2-point loss to Hofstra may have been the most impressive thing, but.
Yeah, well, I think Montana State's still going to be good. They've just been on the road too much. But, they're much better than I anticipated. But coming home and losing to Niagara to start conference play kind of really makes you pump the brakes.
Griggs, in the Mid-American Conference, we've got a team here with 3 losses in Kent State that may still be one of the best under-the-radar teams. They went to Gonzaga and played a hell of a game.
Right, and I've got questions. 3 losses. Yeah, I got questions for our selection committee guessing expert. Their losses at Houston, the top ranked team, both in the net and in both polls, had a lead with less than a minute to go. at Gonzaga, right in there, like right in there, all the way down to, I think within less than a minute to go, they had a chance to win that one. College of Charleston, who we already talked about, lost by two. College of Charleston on their way to the top 25. The combined home records for those teams are however many they've played in zero. The combined overall records at the end of the year, those three teams combined might not lose more than three home games. Kent State took all three of them to the wire. The problem is you go over and it's like, okay, well, really good efforts.
Griggs, you need something over here. And look at these. Look at the remaining nets here. They're not there.
I know.
So in comes Rocco. Do they get any credit at all for those three efforts?
Yes and no, because Chad's ultimately right. Like, the more important priority is to have some wins to build on. And they didn't get any of them done, sadly, because they obviously played well enough to win all three. But now you'll get they'll be in the Sun Bowl event, where if they beat New Mexico State, they'll get UTEP in a road game. You know, obviously the best thing Kent State community can do is root for teams like Portland, New Mexico State, who knows where that's going, but maybe UTEP as well could have a good year. And then the games against Toledo are just going to be epic. Those are going to be classic battles. But again, kind of like what we talked about in the Colonial, most of the Kent State games in league are going to just be landmines that they have to avoid. And, you know, I think Kent State, the thing I like about them a lot more than Toledo is they're not so dependent on one thing. They're very, very balanced. They showed against Houston, they can play a grinder. They showed against Gonzaga, they can play a faster pace and keep up with the best of the best. I think that's going to help them a lot to avoid the upsets. I just don't know. You know, if their net keeps building and they stay strong in the net, they might stay in the conversation that way. It's just going to be really difficult to select them at an at-large standpoint. Yeah, but they're the favorite to win the league, though. Just get the auto bid.
Well, yeah.
Here's the upcoming schedule, Stalika.
Toledo's got the better win, so let them go for the at-large.
Stalika, are you circling next Wednesday night? Your mother Miami at Cincinnati?
Cincinnati is probably going to be in a bad mood in that game if Xavier does what I think they're going to do to the Bearcats on Saturday. But then again, I'm sure they're going to be fully prepared with their home game against Calumet on Sunday. That's disgusting.
Calumet and Rocco, the MEAC. I've got to say here, I know we've talked some Norfolk State, whatever. Coppin State is leading the conference to D1 wins. Picked up a road win at Loyola. Is it time to really start paying attention to the Fighting Juan Dixons?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I mean, Sam Sessoms is a Big Ten player playing for Coppin State. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's just been going off on people. You know, he had the game winning shot to beat. What game was that last week? Was that the Loyola game?
I think it was the Loyola game, wasn't it?
Yeah, when he had 35 and 13 for 16 from two. I mean, Sessoms might actually be an NBA player playing for Coppin State. And so that's a really cool story. And he's just out there dominating. He put up 24 last night in the loss to NC State. He scored 20 plus in almost every game. And so, obviously one great player, but the other guys are playing better around him. I like that team. I think Maryland Eastern Shore is better than I've ever can remember in my lifetime.
They're in it with George Mason tonight or last night. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're in it with George Mason. They beat Lehigh. They beat Marist. They lost close to George Washington. I mean, anyway, it's just incremental growth for the league to have some of these teams be competitive. Even Delaware State in the Delaware rivalry tonight.
That was a good game throughout. It was not an 8-point game like the score says. It was a lot closer than that.
Yeah, very good game. Delaware State led most of the first half, if I remember.
They did, yeah.
And anyway, my larger point is just that even these middle-of-the-pack MEAC teams that usually get looked over, they're a lot more feisty than I ever remember. And it's really good for the league. I think NC Central is pretty strong right there with Norfolk in terms of who's going to compete. But it's fun because now it's like a Norfolk can actually lose in conference against, a fifth or sixth place team.
And here's the upcoming schedule. Coppin, who just mentioned, at East Carolina, at George Washington this week. See if they can pull off one of those two upsets.
It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Not at all.
Stalika. I think GW is winnable. Bowling Green going to Norfolk State could also be interesting.
Yeah, Norfolk could beat Bowling Green, definitely.
They can.
Stalika, Missouri Valley Conference time. I will throw a note there since we started recording here. Drake did pick up a win over Omaha tonight, so one more win on Drake. But we got a
Indiana State also with another nice win on the road.
With a win. So, but Stalica, how about the Trees? And how about Drake? And how about maybe even Bradley up there as well?
Yeah, the Trees certainly had a nice week where they got the win against Drake and also went to Mother Miami and thoroughly pasted the Red Hawks.
It was at Southern Illinois tonight by 3 points.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Travis Steele was a lot more upset in that game than the 4 years he was at Xavier, because Indiana State was hitting threes left and right in the first half of that one before they called off the dogs in the second half.
I guess, Rocco, the question here is, you know, I still think I could see a two-bid valley, but is there a path to it here still?
Drake's going to have to be a part of the equation.
Yeah.
Murray State got a few decent wins in their event, but I just think they're not built for that type of success this year. Obviously, if Drake gets the at-large, then anybody else can win it, right? So I think that's got to be the path. I love what Indiana
State. The at-large. Okay.
So. Indiana State's only got the one loss. So I guess you can't cut them out. And they've got the Drake win, and now they've got a really good road win at SIU.
Yeah, how about the Trees? I'm with you, Rocco. I think Drake has the most talent and the highest ceiling. But if you ask me who has looked the best, I hate the term eye test, it's the Trees.
Yeah, and I was very impressed. They're a lot deeper than Drake. They go like nine deep on the bench. Cooper Neese, their point guard, went down with a knee at the game I was at last week. And I'm not making that up. I was there. Indiana State, they kind of recalibrated the whole way they want to run their program. And their goal is just to outlast teams. So they'll come at you in waves. They'll substitute more than probably anybody in the Valley. And they're built to score. A lot of these Valley teams are more defensive. And so it's an interesting angle that Josh Schertz is taking this year. So far, really paying off. And it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it is.
They better watch out on Sunday, though, when they go to Southern Indiana. That is not going to be an easy game right there, because USI has been a lot better than what people were expecting in their first year of transition.
Yeah, they're good at home, too.
Yeah, they're good at home.
And being an in-state battle, I think there's a trophy for it.
Yeah. Oh, that, look at that. Yeah. We're going to send Rocco to the game with that trophy.
Where are we? Griggs, I think I'm up to you as we jump over to the Northeast Conference here with a lot of red on the screen there, a lot of losses. Stonehill almost picked up a home win tonight over Ryder, then decided to score the last 5 minutes of the game. But
We still have three teams that are without a D1 win. Long Island the other night, I think they forgot to unlock the doors for that. That might be the most sparsely attended game in D1 history that wasn't played during COVID. But as far as the teams that I think are good in the league, I still like Wagner the most. They went into Fordham and really battled. And Fordham is not this year what they normally are. But really, as much as we love this league, you kind of wish we just didn't even have out of conference games. We could just play, you know, a quadruple round robin or something.
Yeah, this is a league that we really, this point of this time of the season, pretty much every year, we just kind of gloss over pretty quickly. Not that we don't love it,
but yeah, we do love it.
Conference that doesn't become great until we get to conference play. And there's the rest of the upcoming schedule for this week. Merrimack playing all of New England on Friday night.
Yeah, all right, man. That is.
Well, I think we have another Zach Singer special on Sunday, though. If you want to talk about two ships passing in the night, the Maine and the Merrimack on Sunday,
we're gonna send Zach to
Merrimack. Let's keep going here, yeah. Rocco. How about the OVC, and how about SIU Edwardsville? You know, a heartbreaking loss on with an awful cameraman last night, but, but how about SIUE and what they've done so far this season?
That was awful. I think going into that game, they had won six in a row, if I remember right. Yep. And, some of those middle tier, lower tier D1 schools, but Rayshon Taylor is a NBA prospect, and he's really dialed in this year. I think last year he kind of checked out a little bit, and they've got him dialed in. I think he's focused on probably getting to the league, but also this OVC is wide open, and he's clearly the best player in the league. So I like what they did against Bradley's a machine right now. They're finally healthy, and for them to they actually led most of the game.
They did. So
that's really impressive.
And they beat Troy, who almost beat Troy's San Diego good. State the other night.
Yeah, Troy's good. Yeah.
So, but the SIU, but for those that missed the end of the game, Edwardsville down two with less than a second left, had a full court pass followed by the guy that caught it, threw it basically over his head, and it went in the basket. It would have one of the most incredible shots you ever saw. But number one, it was after the buzzer, so it didn't count.
Yeah,
but it became almost impossible to review it because the cameraman never bothered moving the camera. He was still focused on the wrong basket the whole time.
Yeah, so the camera had the basket.
Some shaky views from under the cameras is all under the basket is all they had.
Showing the wrong. It's on Plus if you want to go back and watch it. But Edwardsville is the class of this league, as Rocco said. I haven't seen anyone else that even looks remotely good. If there's anybody in this league that's going to get inside the 16 line in like 15, 14, it's them. And judging by how bad everybody else is, they might run the table.
I got to give a shout out to the people at Lindy's Sports right now, because heading to the season, nobody thought Edwardsville would be any good except for them. They picked Edwardsville to win this conference. And I thought, who wrote this article for them? They don't know what they're talking about. So I'll give a shout out to Lindy's Sports.
But the one thing is, Edwardsville's filling their arena. I didn't know there were any people in Edwardsville until this year, because nobody was ever there.
Actually, I think a lot of Bradley fans drove. It was like a half and half thing. But that's still good for them. I mean, obviously a lot of attention on that game last night that could help the Lakers. Yeah.
Here's the upcoming schedule in the conference. But Sleek, let me go back to you as we jump over to the Patriot League here, where we actually almost saw an upset tonight. BU was in it with Notre Dame until the final moments of their game.
Yeah, that's been a common thread as far as under the radar opponents that Notre Dame faces. They Very play true. With their food. The Irish ultimately end up winning the game. And then you look at teams like American, a bit of a surprise seeing them up here so far, getting a decent win at Mount St. Mary's. Navy, they took a shot at the moon but couldn't win at West Virginia tonight, if we're talking about the team with the best metrics so far in the Patriot.
Yeah, but, you know, I think this conference, kind of like the Northeast, maybe in the Ivy League as well, in that really gets a lot more fun once you get to conference play, because this is not a conference where, especially this year, you're looking at any shot in that large bid. But upcoming schedule, Colgate at Binghamton. That Colgate did win that game tonight, by the way. So throw one more win on Colgate. They're up to 500 against D1 competition. They got Vermont coming in Saturday. And a game that we should be circling probably. Could be a good one.
Yeah, probably will be.
Griggs, how about the SoCon?
Yeah, a little not as strong as what we're normally used to seeing. One of the teams that kind of jumps out is Furman. I know that they're just 4-3 against D1 and perhaps a little disappointing. Samford was a team I was big on. They haven't really done much. And if you've noticed, they're 3-3 against D1, but they're 6-4 overall, which is even less impressive because it implies that one of their losses was not to a D1 team. I like Furman. If you ask me who I like the best, they've looked the best to me.
Well, Rocco, should we be paying attention to Greensboro after they really gave Arkansas a game last night?
Yeah, I'm torn on Greensboro because some of their losses I've really had to scratch my head. And then they played Miami really tough. They played the game last night really tough. But, you know, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure them out. SoCon play is going to be a little different than what we've seen as well. We've also got a wild situation at Wofford where the coach was dismissed, Jay McGauley. I'm not sure what happened there. Rumors of a possible player being hit. Hopefully that's
Was he actually dismissed? I heard some type of leave of absence. Suspended. Okay.
Leave of absence. You're right. It's an undetermined amount of time. So you've got that situation. Sanford loses to a non-D1 school, but they're good enough to take UCF on to overtime on the road.
Right.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, once again with Bucky Ball. It's a wild league, and I don't think Furman's nearly as dominant as we probably thought.
Right.
I do want to shout out real quick to a school that's preliminarily never higher than ninth, the Citadel, 4-4.
And they're going to pick up. They got a big game coming up Tuesday, Griggs. What do you think their chances are? North Carolina can't beat anybody right now.
I'm going with the Citadel on that one. If they win that one, we will be discussing it.
The Citadel will be our team of the week next week. Yes. Samford at Louisiana, Furman at NC State, a few other games worth watching here. Queens at East Tennessee State next week. Yeah. Who am I up to now? I guess I'm up to Rock. I'm up to you with the Southland Conference.
Yeah, well, we've got a developing situation.
Yes, we do.
As we speak. Yes. As we speak. Yeah. Maybe we should come back to this at the end of the shows.
Well, wait a minute, what is the situation?
We have a minute 38 remaining. Nichols trails Texas Tech 70-69 by 1 point. Unfortunately, Nichols already has 2 players fouled out and 3 more players with 4 fouls. That's a problem. Yeah. But besides that, they've played extremely well. Nichols actually had a 7-point halftime lead, and this would be a torpedo for Texas Tech.
I thought you were going to talk about the fact that I was missing both Southeastern Louisiana's win over Belhaven and Corpus Christi's win over Texas Lutheran tonight from the screen. Yeah. But I guess neither of those are developing.
Okay, what about Northwestern State? Come on, let's give it. Yeah. This is a great team. Rocco, Northwestern State. You were at their last game.
We're getting to the point where nobody's going to know which games I'm at, but that's okay. just flooding the zone. But Northwestern State is a squad. Basically, I call them Missouri State Light because they hired Corey Gibson, assistant coach, Missouri State. 3 starters, including DeMarcus Sharp, their star player from Missouri State's lineup last year. So they are like the Bears Light. It's a talented team. I like them. I thought they were one of the best performing teams in the transfer portal. Built this team straight from scratch right out of the spring. And look at these wins. The TCU win, obviously TCU shorthanded. Incredible that they won that game anyway. The win at Stephen F. Austin. Southern Miss team was on fire. What a great game. I think they won on last second shot. So I think this team's for real. I hope they continue to grow. Obviously, he's a new coach. So, you know, who knows? You could hit some walls with a new coach, but really, really good talent here and really impressive start.
And 2 interesting road tests left at Baylor and at Texas A&M. Baylor probably over their heads, but Texas A&M.
Texas A&M has been really disappointing this year.
Weird team. Weird team. They won by a million at DePaul, but then, they get upset. So, who knows?
The rest of the upcoming schedule for this week, besides the game that's going on right now, and if it goes final before we're done, we will update on that, is right there on the screen. But Sleeka, let me jump back to you with the Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Well, first I had to jump in on Nichols following game. I hope they're not rusty against Rust College come Sunday. But getting back to the...
How about the Jackson State Tigers going to SMU with a win? Come on, Sleeka.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an eventful week at JSU. I mean, first we hear about them winning the SWAC football championship, and then Coach Prime heads over to Colorado. But winning at SMU, that's not an easy thing to do for a SWAC team. But Jackson State, they've been a somewhat successful program over the years. That's going to be a nice feather in their cap right there.
And I really got to say, Rocco, it's very rare to see a team from the SWAC at this point in the season with a winning record against D1 competition. Mm-hmm. And we see that with Grambling. So,
I mean, Grambling getting 2 D1 home games is also weird. Yeah. And they won them both in non-conference, I should say.
And here they go. They're going to Vanderbilt Friday night. Can they win that game?
I want to say no.
You're going
to
be there? Or?
No, I will not be there. I can confirm that. How does Vanderbilt look tonight? I haven't seen their score.
Vanderbilt tonight, we'll try to get a score update here. They are up,
3 against Pitt.
Yep, okay. 3 early in the
Stallings Cup.
Okay.
The rest of the upcoming schedule in this conference is on the screen there. Sleeka, you'll be seeing some Southern Tuesday night. I'm sure you're going to that game, correct?
Yep, that'll be part of my season ticket package for a school that is definitely not under the radar.
Grambling, a great story. Just one of the worst D1 programs for an extended period of time. Here they are at the top of the league and winning notable games. I would love to see them win this conference. I'm all in on Grambling.
Griggs, how about the Summit League where, especially coming off of South Dakota and South Dakota State just laying some eggs over the last week here, here we've got Denver sitting at 8-1 overall.
Yes, their strength of schedule is 363, which means there is not a team in the
division. But they're 8-1 overall.
Yeah, but they are 8-1 overall, and it's kind of, you know, they've at least won the ones that they've played. The question remains, is this a little bit of a mirage, and is South Dakota State finally going to start to look like what we think they are? South Dakota State not playing. SOS is 10th, by the way.
Well, Rocco, I don't know that I ever recall seeing the number one and the number 363 SOS in the same conference, but here we have it with Denver and Oral Roberts.
And good for Oral Roberts. I'm proud of that. I helped them get a couple of those games. But, yeah, I mean, Denver is playing really efficient basketball. Again, we don't know how it translates against better competition. Obviously, a concerning home loss to Sac State, but I like that Sac State team. They're going to rematch tonight, actually, up here in Sacramento. A nice little in-season home-and-home. Yeah. And then Denver will go to UCLA. So, you know, I don't know if we'll learn much there either. They're probably losing by 20. But the difference between maybe losing by 20 or losing by 40 could tell us a little bit of a clue. But they'll go to Oregon State right before Christmas, and maybe if Denver's good, they'll beat Oregon State. So we'll see about that. But otherwise, I would say Jeff Wolbrun has done a great job since they hired him. It's only his second year, hired right over here from Stanford off their staff, and he's done a great job of getting talent in there. And you know, that we talked about that program a couple of years ago and how we could not understand how they never cared about basketball, and they're really starting to finally commit. Mm-hmm.
And Oral Roberts, interesting game coming up Monday. They're hosting Liberty after they host Central Arkansas over the weekend. Probably we expect a lot more out of Liberty going into this game, but it could still end up being a nice win for them at the end of the season if Liberty does get better here. Griggs, how about the Sun Belt Conference? Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Southern Miss, probably one of the bigger surprises. They did have the loss to Northwestern State earlier in the week. It was a really good game, a tough road game, but Southern Miss still putting out and a few decent wins of their own. Louisiana off to a 7-1 start. They got the win at La Tech. That's really good. Marshall winning 7 straight since losing their opener to the Queens, and they look good. You pull up these profiles, there isn't anything – exactly quad one level, but you watch the games, they're really good. And then how about James Madison? Not the bloated record, but some really good efforts from them. How much fun is the Fun Belt, or is the Fun Belt going to be this year?
No, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
I think Southern Miss is the only profile that I'm looking at that I could sniff a little, maybe. Bubble-ish if they can win out, including the win at UNLV here.
Those road wins are awesome.
Yeah, those road wins are great. Yeah,
playing Lamar back to back the next week, though, is going to weigh them down a little bit.
Yeah. That's going to be it. But if they get that win at Vegas, especially, though, and then they can finish first in this conference, they don't have to go undefeated, but finish first place in this conference, I think that you talk about them.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we would all like to believe once Liberty gets into the A-Sun, you know, they'll be one of those top teams, and their numbers are only going to, you know, increase. I think Southern Miss is a very interesting team, rebuilt by the portal. Another one of these examples, how you can turn things around quickly in a year. Louisiana is very tough. We like this Troy team. We've talked about James.
Troy, Madden. Another one. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Marshall's on fire right now. And I think Old Dominion's better than we thought. They looked really good in their event. They continue to play at least solid and giving everybody a tough game at least. So there's 8 or 9 teams in here that could theoretically win the Sun Belt tournament.
Yeah.
Sluka, here's the upcoming schedule in the Sun Belt or in the Fun Belt.
Oh, that's a big one tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, Marshall Duquesne is one of the many games.
That's not a backhand. That's a great game.
It is. Yeah.
Well, they're going to be spending a few days up in that area because after the Duquesne game, they go up to Moon Township to take on Robert Morris on Saturday. So a chance to pick up 2 road wins.
And then Tuesday at Greensboro, we were just talking about that Greensboro team as coming off a nice performance against Arkansas.
Yeah.
Let's see here. two more teams to talk about here. Rocco, Chicago State and Hartford. Anything to say? We do see a win, another win there for the Cougs.
Chicago State's got some talent. Yeah, they blasted Southern Indiana team. So, you know, all three of their D1 wins are at home. Unfortunately for the Cougs,
only next, one more home.
Yeah, they have they have a couple, but they're all non D1, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
And the Hartford one is the last D1. But yeah, so they're pretty
Let's
much
do a little Chicago State profile here on the left here. Home games, they have East West University, Aurora, St. Xavier, Calum, and they do get a D1 home game on February 19th against Hartford. So for that trip to Gonzaga at the end of the year, and then at Fresno. So it's a tough schedule being an independent.
Yeah, it really is. I know that they're in talks with a few leagues, and I think one of them is going to work out. I hope so too.
Fun fact: there, the Chicago State's 3-0 against the state of Indiana and 0-7 against everybody else.
Oh, well, there we go. They got to stay in state.
Yeah.
State next door, but yeah.
Check in a couple of our mythical conferences. The Beehive Conference, Utah State, still sitting here first place at 1-0. Let's see.
Win against Utah Tech?
But there is a game going on right now. Utah Valley BYU tied in the second half as we record this. So, that could be huge. If you know, that could knock BYU out of contention for the title this year.
BYU is really struggling.
Yeah, they are.
Lost to South Dakota. We didn't mention that on the.
We didn't.
Yeah. We've got the Front Range Conference, Northern Colorado with the lead with that big win at Colorado State. Still early in conference play here, though.
Very early in conference play, yeah.
Colorado, though, the huge one coming up here Thursday night. A little on the radar, but. And of course, our newest conference of them all.
the
Back Range.
Yes. This one's barely under the radar.
Very hurt by the cancellation of the New Mexico State series this season. But New Mexico did pick up a Western New Mexico win that for some reason does not count. I don't know why that shouldn't that count.
I will have to ask the commissioner. Who is the commissioner? The mythical commissioner.
Mythical commissioner of the mythical
I thought it was Stalika.
I think it is.
I don't see any back range games on the schedule for this week, but let's go to under the radar top 10. How about that?
Okay.
There we go. And we've got a lot of honorable mentions, a lot of teams that received votes this week. It was all over the place with just the four of us voting. Teams that did not make the top 10, though, were Western Kentucky,
UC Irvine,
Marshall,
James
Madison, High Point, UC Irvine, after getting thrashed by Fresno, Louisiana, UNC Wilmington, Indiana State. None of those teams made the top 10.
No love for the trees.
No love. Well, a little bit of love.
A little bit. I mean, that's pretty
close. I would put them in. I would put them in if I knew they were going to win tonight.
Yeah.
Northwestern State coming in at number 10 here.
Wow. They belong in there. They should arguably be.
Well, I think Griggs had them. I think Griggs had them like number 2, and that's why they made the top 10. He really messed up.
I don't think I had him that high, did I?
We had a 2-way tie for 8th between Iona and Southern Miss. Two very good programs here. At number 7, we had Towson out of the
Towson, who has a lead late in the game, or 8 minutes to go.
Yeah,
huge.
UAB coming in at number 6 out of Conference USA. And at number 5, we have Florida Atlantic, also out of CUSA.
Yeah, really good showing tonight. This Owls team is great.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they are.
They were missing a player tonight, too, and they still killed it.
Sam Houston coming in at number 4. I think you guys were a little bit swayed by that number. I would have had them 8 or 9, but coming in at number 4, somebody had them really.
I've been swayed by that win at Utah.
They lost last night, so they fell a little bit. Drake coming in at number 3, another Missouri Valley Conference team.
That's more of a potential ranking than an actual.
Number result. 2, Kent State.
Kent State, like, they were my number 1. So
they got 3 losses already, Graves. They got to win a game. Come on. And unlike the number 1 team, probably not a big surprise, but I'll do a little trouble anyhow. May not be under the radar next week, but College of Charleston sitting here number 1, of course.
So instead of the under the radar top 10, we could also call this top 10 teams that would be favored to win the Atlantic 10 Conference.
I got to mention, when we do these top 10 lists, I ask each of you, everybody, to email me their top 10 teams sometime before we start. Griggs, send me 25 teams this week. You know, you've got to learn how to count your puppet at some point. But let's go to final thoughts. Sleekly, why don't you start us off?
I teased it a little earlier that I'm going to have a different under the radar game for Friday. And then, of course, that is going to be Taylor University and their annual Silent Night tradition. So they'll actually be playing Mother Miami at Middletown, the Thunderhawks. But this was a game that obviously got interrupted because of COVID for the 2021 season. But starting last year, they were able to resume their Silent Night festivities. So if we have a streaming link available, we'll go ahead and put it in the write-up. So that's always a fun event.
Yeah, it's a crazy event. Rocco.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, first of all, from earlier, Conference USA has in fact passed Atlantic 10 in the KenPom conference ratings, whatever those are worth. I'm a believer. So congrats. I think I did the research a couple of weeks ago. I think this is Conference USA's first time in the top 10 in well over a decade, maybe ever since KenPom started.
Back in the Memphis, Louisville,
two decades, you know, that's a decent amount of time. But I would say just overall about the league, it's very exciting. I think UTSA and FIU, maybe Rice, are the only landmines, but even Rice is 6-2. UTEP, Charlotte, Louisiana Tech, and Middle Tennessee are all solid middle teams. And then four really good teams with UAB, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Western Kentucky. It's just going to be awesome because if this can just carry through for a few more weeks, league play starts right before New Year's. And we're going to see several games throughout the league play that are going to hopefully have impacts on the bubble picture.
It's almost a shame that we only get USA in this format for 1 year.
Yeah, really.
All the changes coming again next year because it finally became a conference that I'm really enjoying watching, as opposed to dreading this some of the garbage that was being played in it.
Next year, we'll finally get to enjoy the American.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. Griggs.
I want to go back to something Rocco had mentioned about Sam Houston and their non-D1 opponents. I think Congress needs to act to prevent schools from scheduling non-D1. But in the case of Sam Houston, they couldn't get anyone to play them. We've had multiple committee members. We've had David Warlock on, and they always mention the intent to schedule. What does that mean? Does that mean you scheduled teams that you thought would be good that didn't play out? Or does it mean that you literally you tried as hard as you could to schedule? I don't know how you can have more of an intent to schedule than what Sam Houston did. And I know Rocco can speak to it better than I can. When you're basically walking around saying, we'll play anyone for nothing, how do you make more of an intent to schedule than that? And I hope the committee gives them a break.
Well, but they want somebody at home, though, correct?
They want it. Yeah, exactly. They were trying to get at least one home game in each month. They failed at both. And that kind of became the norm for them and Abilene Christian in Southern Utah. A couple of those teams that are in very remote locations where everybody else just looks at it. They're like, no, we're not going there. And they wanted the offer was to go return the game somewhere else next year. And literally tried every single team imaginable, couldn't get anybody to go there.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Griggs, I think the intent to schedule is more of the, you know, we scheduled three ACC teams, and they ended up being, you know, Louisville, Boston College, and
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I just don't think we're going to get that far with Sam Houston, particularly because the WAC's too deep, and they'll fade eventually. But it's a great story for now.
All right. Well, on that note, I do want to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of John Stalica, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back in next week with a lot more podcasts, content on the website every day. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.